To turn to the book of Genesis. We shall be reading out of the 13th chapter, verses 14 through 17, and supporting scripture, a very familiar passage coming from 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. Sunday before last, when I shared with you, I told you that I had went to a banquet that evening before and heard a message. I said that I was intended even to try to preach it that next Sunday morning, but it wasn't time. I told you that maybe I'd preach it in New Jersey, but it wasn't time. But it's time this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. So if you will, listen to these words. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And the Lord said unto Abram, after he and Lot were separated, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, a very familiar passage that says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. On the basis of those verses, we like to use a thought or subject this morning. What you see is what you get. What you see is what you get.
I'm so glad that the blood still works. Hallelujah. Whatever you do for the Lord, you ought to do it till you feel it. And if you do it till you feel it, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that the blood still works. I'm glad that the Spirit of God is in this place. And every now and again, you ought to feel the power of God's Spirit. Don't nobody know like you know what God is doing in your life. Hallelujah, Jesus. When somebody else have closed their eyes and said, I don't know whether I'm going to make it or not, you know that the blood still works, and the Lord tells you to keep on keeping on. Hallelujah, Jesus. May not be where you want to be, but isn't you glad you're not where you used to be? You might not dot every I, cross every T, but isn't it good to know God loves you wherever you are? Wherever you are in your life right now, God loves you so much that blood still works for you. And all you got to do is just let go and let God. Anybody come to let God have his way? It's homecoming time. It's time to get out of being all stuffed up and holding yourself and quenching the spirit. You ought to let go and let God. Anybody glad this morning? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The Lord is worthy this morning. He is worthy this morning. And when you know that, you know. Hallelujah, Jesus. The enemy thought he had you. Somehow, some way. You just got loose long enough to tell God, the devil, you a liar. Hallelujah. I may not have everything, but if I got Jesus, I got enough to help me make it through the day. Don't worry about what's going to happen on tomorrow. Just thank God for what you got for today. In fact, don't worry about later on this evening. Just thank God for right now. All we got that we can count on is right now. Right Right now, God's spirit is moving. Right now, God's blood is working. Right now, you owe God a praise. Anybody come to give him a praise? Say yes! Woo! Woo! It's homecoming. It's revival. And if you don't want it, that's your own business. Somebody better praise him while you can. Don't nobody know like you know. Yeah! God is worthy this morning. Just act like God been good to you this morning. Amen, amen. Amen. That's all right. That's all right. Praise him anyhow. Hallelujah. 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 God has been good enough. Hallelujah. Some of you that don't feel like praising him, we got some partners in the house this morning. Hallelujah. If you don't feel like shouting, I'll shout for you. You don't feel like waving your hand, I'll wave for you this morning because I want everybody to feel good this morning. Hallelujah. You don't need no rock crying for you this morning. You ought to cry for yourself. God is good this morning. Amen, amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. Only thing I can tell you, do the best you can. Lord, help me say all that just so you can pull out some of that stuff, because sometimes you just got to get some release. Hallelujah. Praises. Sometimes you got to pray your way through. Sometimes you got to praise your way through. When you don't even feel like praising him, you got to praise him anyhow. When you can't really see why you're praising him, you got to praise him anyhow. Because God is worthy this morning. And as God has blessed us, then we ought to be glad to show him some type of expression of our gratitude. I mean, you don't have to shout. You can feel good just sitting in your seat. But don't hinder that one that want to shout. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Bible declares that there's liberty. So there's a freedom in this thing called Christianity, to where you ought to be able to let God have his way. We assemble ourselves. You got up and got your little shower, put your clothes on, and you didn't just come to the house of God just to be in the number. But I believe somebody come this morning to be blessed by the best. Somebody come to get deliverance from some of the things that you're going through. Somebody come this morning just to let the Lord know that I need your help. because I'm trying to make it, but I'm just not strong enough to do it all by myself. Anybody understand where I'm coming from? You see, it don't matter that you are God-fearing and that you are a believer, but you also got to be honest with yourself that you don't have all of the answers, and there are some things that you just cannot do. I don't care how much love is in your heart, how much your purposes are, and how much you really have a mind to do the right thing. There are some things that are beyond your power. So the Bible tells us and teaches us that with God, some things are impossible, but with man, some things are impossible, but not with God. There is nothing that the Lord God cannot do. And so because he is that kind of God, we thank him tonight. We thank him this morning. I just preached Friday night, and I was thinking about that message. It is better to tell the truth than to tell a lie. That's how I got caught up in me. I got jumped back to Friday night, so you better watch out this morning. Sometimes these services start running together when you go, and they just all run together. But I just thank God for holding my mind and trying to give me clarification as to what needs to be done, because it is a shame for you to even sit in the house of God and God have blessed you in such a way and you lie to God by sitting still. You lie to God by not telling him thank you. You lie to God by not acting like that he is the one that made it possible for you to even be here. So we thank God for the truth this morning. We thank God for his grace and his mercy and for allowing us to go through another week's journey. And today we're in fellowship one with another on this Lord's Day, giving thanks and praises to the Lord our God. We're here this morning at the Fowles Chapel Baptist Church with our family and friends and all of our members to celebrate homecoming and revival. A time that we've already prayed and asked God for his blessings, and you can see that God is already answering our prayers. Because we need to know that the revival starts with us. We're not looking for somebody to bring it to us. We need to have it within ourselves, to have the desire to want to get closer, to have a desire to be restored and to be replenished so that we can be about our Father's business. So we got to keep on. Don't stop praying now just because the Lord has blessed us so good this morning. There's somebody else going to need to shout tomorrow night. Somebody going to need to shout throughout the week. Somebody going to need to just call out on the name of Jesus. And they're not going to be a dance in their feet, but they're going to be joy down in the depths of their heart. Hallelujah, Jesus. There's a song that comes to mind that says, I rose this morning giving honor to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I rose this morning thanking God that he allowed me to be yet counted amongst the living. I rose thanking God for another day, for truly this is the day that the Lord God has made. We are rejoicing and we are glad to be in the midst of God and God's people. And we know that God is still doing great things. Even in the midst of all that you might be going through, the Lord is still worthy this morning. God is worthy of our praises. And even though we have our different personalities, there's something about the Lord that sort of brings us together. It helps us to get on one accord. Because the Spirit of God, it doesn't go through changes. The Spirit of God is just one Spirit. And that Spirit, it abides within us if we will allow it to. It watches over us when we don't understand that he is still right there. Don't you know when you were a sinner and you were out there and you weren't thinking about talking to God, God's Holy Spirit was still watching over you and keeping you and protecting you and hoping and praying that one day you would come to the light and call on the name of Jesus and ask the Lord to forgive you for your shortcomings? That there are those of us this morning that said that the Lord is our shepherd. So if you're able to say that the Lord is your shepherd, you also ought to be able to say, I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. So that lets us know that when you don't feel good, you can still praise him. You may not be able to get up and do like you've been doing, but you can just tell God thank you in your mind. So sometimes when you're laid there and you're thinking about just how good God has been, and you're wondering, Lord, I've been going through for a while now, so Lord, I need you to come and see about me. And that small, still voice whispered to you, I've never left you. I've been here all the time. I've been holding you. I've been sort of comforting you. And every now and again, in the midnight hour when you are slumbering and when you're asleep and your body might even be in pain, I have a way of caressing you. And I give you a good rub down and let you know that in the morning, it's going to be all right. You might go through some things tonight. And I want you to know that the night's not going to be all way. Weeping may endure for a night, but there is going to be some joy in the morning. Anybody looking for daylight? Anybody looking for that morning in your life? To know that God is going to be there when everybody has turned their back on you. And then you have to understand, everybody could be there for you, crowded around your bed, right there in your living room, sitting there talking to you and not be able to do a thing for you. We got to understand that there are some things that are beyond our power, but there's nothing beyond the power of God. So even when we find ourselves in that situation where it's seemingly nothing we can do but pray, that's the best thing you can do. Because if you can pray and you believe in the power of prayer, God has the resources, God has the connection and the comprehension of knowing what I need to do to make this thing be all right. Hallelujah. I thank God because we got to learn how to get God where he needs to be. And where God needs to be is in the midst of all of our lives. We are looking for the Lord God this evening to do some great things. But now I found out that my assignment this morning is to lay the foundation by the aid of the Holy Spirit to stir up some gifts. And we need to set an atmosphere, and I believe it's already here, that is receptive to the manifestation of God's Spirit. You see, we got to have that place and that abode to where when God comes and when the people of God come, they can already feel the presence of God's Spirit. Why? Because we have the Spirit of God within us, and every now and again, we release those spirits out into the atmosphere, and we just let God's love and God's grace and God's goodness and his mercy, it just go from breast to breast. Isn't it a good thing how to share the love of Jesus? You heard somebody say, love is what love does. But if you don't never show your love, if all you got is lip service love, then that's not very much in your love. But God loves us so much that the Bible declared that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, the saints of old, they had an old saying that said that I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise the Lord. Any praises in the house this morning? How many of you are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? How many don't mind telling God thank you? How many don't mind lifting up holy hands right beside your neighbor? No, don't matter who you sitting beside, but you don't mind telling God thank you. You're not worried about what nobody's saying and nobody looking at you out of the corner of your eye and nobody saying that you don't have a right to praise him. I don't care if it's my brother, my enemy, my friend, my mama, my daddy, my uncle. I can praise God beside anybody. You ought to be able to praise God. Today, we consider, I think, what you see is what you get. I know that many of you have heard that statement many times in your life. This morning, we want to put it in the proper context for an understanding of where we're coming from. Many times when we hear these words, it is a statement pertaining to an individual. And that statement basically is saying that you can't add anything, you can't take anything away. It is what it is. I am who I am. So what you see, it's what you get. Is that not the way when we interact with one another? And sometimes when we don't have too much knowledge about a person and we don't really know them, but we're trying to get to know them. And as you begin to conversate and interact with them, they may come with that statement, what you see is what you get. So now, does that mean you stop asking questions? Does that mean you accept them at that statement and just leave it alone? Or do you do a further, deeper investigation to see what it is that you are actually getting yourself into? You see, you can say that I'll leave it alone because you said what you said, but somewhere down the road when things are not what you thought that they were going to be, then you can't point the finger and say that I thought you were like this or I thought you were like that, because you got to understand that you've already been told what you see is what you get. But now we want to look at this, and when we get this thought in our mind, these words are pretty much the same, but the concept is somewhat different. See, what I'm saying this morning is what one visualizes with your eyes when you see the things that God has made, if you can see it and can see your blessings in it, then you are able to know that God will bless you abundantly. We can put full trust and confidence in God and everything that God has said. David said, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put thy confidence in man. Even when your enemies compass you about, the Lord God will give you strength and a song. And the Lord, as David says, has helped me. For he said, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. So now when we look out and see the wonders of God's creation, we stand in awe of his mighty power. We wonder and we ponder sometimes, how is it that God has so much power that God can make things that come out of nothing? For the Bible declares that it was void and there was nothing there, but God said, and all of creation was created. So now what I'm trying to get to is that when you look out of the natural eye that God has given you, there are things that you see, and then there are things sometimes that you don't see. A reason, because you got to learn how to look beyond what you see with the natural eye. The Bible declares that we walk by faith and not by sight. So now when we look at that concept, we got to understand that in walking by faith, I'm believing in something that I cannot see with the natural eye, but I can see it in my spiritual eye, and I'm going to keep on walking until I get what God has for me. Now, our text tells us this morning that there was a man by the name of Abram, a man that had favor with God, a man that had been promised by God to be the father of many nations, a man that who had been promised that your seed would outnumber even the grains of sand. God has faithfully walked with Abram. God has given Abram a long, long life. And most of us have heard and know the story that Abram is that same one that we refer to as Abraham. For it was because of Abram's faithfulness, it's because God, Abraham trusted in the power of God, that his name one day was changed because of a promise that God had given him. Abram, a man that Paul would say walked by faith and not by sight. Abram was the same one that realized that I got to do what the Lord would have me to do. Now, when we look at faith, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is defined as belief and trust in something or somebody, allegiance or loyalty. So we walk by faith and not by sight. So we don't have the vision that God has, and we got to understand God has the vision that can see beyond everything that we know. And as we hope for God, as we hope for life, God has the insight that he can see even in the life hereafter. When we shall see as we are being seen, faith is for this world. Sight is reserved for the other world.
So it is our duty as we walk by faith to come to live with God in a way that we can see him. And we see him by faith. Some things we don't see. But I still believe that this was the challenge that God gave to Abram. That if he looked out with his natural eye in faith, that he would see more than just the land. You see, we got to learn how to see with our spiritual eyes, and we receive and count it done before it comes to pass. That's what walking by faith means, is that when we ask God for something, we believe and we act on it as if it has already come to pass. Now somebody might be doubtful. Somebody may be a naysayer and say, what are you praising the Lord about? You hadn't got the blessing yet. But by faith, I can praise him, because I'm not going to wait until the battle is over. I can shout for my blessings right now. Jeremiah 29:11 says this: for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So now we have to understand that the Lord God, he has already made some plans for our lives. He has some thoughts and some plans for us. And those thoughts that he has for us, they are thoughts of peace, not of evilness. They are thoughts that we need to understand, that the Lord God is saying that I'll go with you all the way to your expected end. Now, you have to believe and wonder this morning, what will be your expected end? What is it that you need to do to prepare yourself for the coming of the Lord? What is it that you need to do to realize that God wants you to watch and to look and to live by faith and not by sight? So that you will be able to be like Abram and say that I believe in the power of God and I got faith in the power of God. Now, before we get to our text, let us back up to the 12th chapter. The Bible said, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 of Genesis. This is what the Lord God is saying to a man by the name of Abram. First of all, let us understand, he told Abram to get out of the land. He told Abram that if you leave the land, I'll make you, this is the promise. If you leave the land, I'll make you a great man. I'll make you one that has many nations. I'll bless you. And anybody that go up against you, I'll go up against them. Anybody that bless you, I'll bless them. So that's how you got to be careful how you treat God's people. Because when you criticize and you run down the people of God, God has the power to run you down. What goes around comes around. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever soever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So Abraham departed just like the Lord told him. Now, the Bible said that when he left, there was a famine in the land. Abram went down to Egypt and he sojourned there, for the famine had been grievous. Then the Bible said that it came to pass that when they got down to Egypt, that the Egyptians beheld that Abram had a good-looking wife. See, Abram realized that now that I'm in the midst of the enemy. Abram knew that in this part of town, that if you got a good-looking woman on your side, then they will take your woman. So now here Abram is standing there, and Abram talks to Sarah and says, Sarah, now when we get in here, what I need you to do is just tell them, don't tell them I'm your husband. But I want you to tell them that I'm your brother. Because if you tell them I'm your brother, then they'll let me live. But if you tell them that I'm your husband, they might just kill me. So now the Bible says it came to pass when Abram was come there that the princes, they saw that this woman was very fine. And he entreated Abram, and he did Abram well. He said, you know how it is when you got that brother got a good looking sister.
That brother knows that I can get anything from you because you want to get close to my sister. So I'll give you a few dollars. I'll give you a ride. You can even borrow my car if you let me get up with your sister. So now this is what's going on. Abram realized that he's getting some favors now. He getting favored because Sarah is not his wife right now. It's his sister. But you have to understand what Abram is going through. First of all, I've had to have my wife to tell a lie. Then you got to look at the fact that not only has she told a lie, but I'm putting her right there in the midst of the enemy Pharaoh. And Pharaoh done brought her in because she's a good looking woman. Well, the Bible say the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because God don't like ugly. See, God understood why Abram was doing what he was doing, but still in the midst of what understanding, he still didn't like it. What does that say to us this morning? There are some things that we think that we done got away with, but we ain't got away with nothing. Everything that been in our life had been recorded in the book of life. That only way to get released from that is that thing called repentance. Anybody know how to tell God I'm sorry? And I ain't going to mess with much of that. I got to stay with Abram this morning. Abram looks at this thing. Pharaoh said, why? Why'd you tell me that this was your sister? I might have taken her to be my wife. Now I've found out that she's your wife. But now look at God. Abram thought that he would have been killed. But because of disobedience, God had already caused some things to happen in Pharaoh's life that made him realize Abram ain't nobody to reckon with. The best thing for us to do is to give Abram his good-looking wife and put them on out of town. Sometimes that thing that looks so good to you, you better learn how to close your eyes. You better learn how to keep your hands to yourself. You gotta learn how to let everything that come out in your mouth come out. Because there's some things you're just not quite ready to do. Didn't I say just the other night, say what you mean and mean what you say? Hallelujah. I told you I was going to do a little bounce back. Hallelujah. So now, let us look here. Pharaoh commanded the men concerning him. Sent him away and his wife and all that he had. Now, Abram, when he went out of Egypt, he and his wife, and they tell the Bible said that his nephew Lot was with him. The Bible said they went into the south. Abram was very rich in cattle and in silver and in gold. Don't you know he just got some favors from Pharaoh? Pharaoh just gave him some things because of Sarah. So now Abram is looking pretty good now. Abram got it going on, and Abram is journeying out to the south, even to Bethel. The Bible declared that unto the place there he built an altar. You know, God has a way to let us know that when God does something, we ought to have a mind to say thank you. When we look here in the Old Testament, every time God blessed the people of God, they went back to the altar. They went back and gave a sacrifice. They went back to tell God thank you. But a lot of time God blesses us and we wait until we get down on our back before we start trying to get back to God to tell him thank you. So that's why we're having revival, so that we don't have our minds in the right place. God can get us right back on track so that we will be able and be worthy of God's praises. Bible said that Lot said that I want to go and I have many flocks and I got herds and I got tents also. But the Bible declares that the land was not able to bear both Lot and Abram's stock. There were beginning to be some confusion. Strife was beginning to come in the land. There's a strife between the herdsmen of Abram and the herdsmen of Lot. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were there in the land. Abram says unto Lot, let there be no more strife. Abram realized that of all this land God has, there's no reason why we can't get along. Abram said, look here, Lot, I tell you what I'll do. We're going to need to separate. Because now, before long, your herdsmen are falling out. And before long, we're going to fall out. But before I fall out with you, because we're not supposed to act like that. The Bible says, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. You hear what I'm saying? God is tired of us brothers and sisters falling out with one another. Not having sense enough to make amends. Not having the love of God enough to say, I'm sorry. Not realizing that God is a God of peace and of love. God don't want us to go through life hating one another. God don't want us to go through life falling out with one another. So we look here in this text this morning, we ought to take something away. Lot realized that I can't make it here. Abram realized I can't make it either. But the Bible tells us this morning that he said, separate thyself. In other words, if you would take the left, I'll take the right. You want the right, I'll take the left. But look at Abram. Abram is the one, is the man of promise. But the man of promise knew how to humble himself. The man of promise knew what it was to make peace with somebody. See, sometimes when you're trying to make the peace, you got to learn how to just give up. You got to learn how to back up off and say, you do what you want to do, and then I'll take what's left. Or you go the way you want to go, and then I'll go the other way so that there'll be some peace in the land. Now, the Bible says, Lot lifted up his eyes, and he looked at the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered, and it was real green, and Lot realized there's some good-looking land over there. So now, I'm going to take, since I got first choice, I'm going to take the land that looked the best to me. Don't that make sense? Somebody give you an option, then you're going to take what you think is going to work out the best. But how many of you know that what looked good all the time, not good? Well, how many of you know that sometimes when it's working good for a little while, it'll run out in a little while? How many of you know that sometimes the enemy has a way of dressing up something to make it look good on the outside so it can reel you in? And then once it gets you in there, it consumes you and just take over you. See, that's what happened with Brother Lot. Lot got so close to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah that he realized, I don't need to live in a tent no more. They got some houses over there. Should have stayed outside the gate. Should have stayed in the tent with what he was used to. How many of us are always trying to upscale, trying to upgrade, trying to get a better place to live? How many of you know that that little house that you had in the first place brought you more joy and peace than the big house you got? You got to know that everything ain't for everybody. You got to let some folk go their way and you go your way. You got to know sometimes even though it look good, it might not be good for you. But now I thank God that God is the one in control. I thank God that God was the one that was leading Brother Abram. Abram was a man that believed in the power of a mighty God. So I see Abram standing there as a man of faith. Abram realized now that I've done the right thing. I realize that Lot and myself are not going to get along. But I done handled that situation now. I done told Lot that he can have whatever land that he want to have. I done told Lot that we got to separate. And now the good Lot has gone his own way. But now look at what God does. The Lord said unto Abram, after Lot have left away from you, lift up now thine eyes. Look from the place where thou art. In other words, he said, Abram, when you get out there, don't worry about what Lot got over there. But I want you to look out in front of you. I want you to look to the north. I want you to look to the south. I want you to look to the east and to the west. And everywhere you look, all the land that you see, everything you see, whatever you see, I'm going to give it unto you. So in other words, what you see is what you get. All you got to do is trust the power of a mighty God. When you learn how to walk by faith, you ought to be able to be like Brother Abram on this morning, to know that I might not have everything that I think I ought to have, but I trust the power of a mighty God. And I just stop by to tell you this morning that if you trust the power of God, if you trust the will of God, then God will do what nobody else can do. I want to let you know that God knows exactly where you are. God knows what you stand in need of. God realized that if Abram could look through the eyes of faith, he could realize that the land might look barren, but I have a way to plenish the land. I have a way to make your crops grow. I have a way that everything is going to be all right. Not only is you going to get everything that you see in the land, but I'm going to bless you that you have many seeds. You have more folk in your life. Anybody glad to know that you're an descendant? You are descendant of Abraham. And because Abraham had faith, we ought to have faith this morning. Anybody got faith in the power of God? Anybody walking by faith and not by sight? Anybody know that the Lord God is right here by your side? Anybody come in the house of God this morning just to tell the Lord whose side you're on? I just want to let you know right now that what you see is what you're going to get. If you see prosperity, then prosperity will be yours. If you see healing in the land, healing will be yours. If you know that God will be right by your side, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I thank God for being our Savior this morning. I thank God that when the Lord God told Abram, rise up and walk out through the land. In other words, everywhere that you walk, everything that you see, everything that I got is yours. All you got to do is trust me. All you got to do is love me. All you got to do is obey me. Anybody in here want to obey God? Anybody want God to be pleased? Then you got to be like Abram this morning. You got to walk by faith. You got to look out of your spiritual eyes and say, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. I can see what the Lord has done when I look back and see what the Lord God has done for me. My soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank my God this morning that what you see is what you're going to get. What you see on the inside, it's the power of a mighty God. God has a way this morning that he'll do what nobody else can do. I want to let you know this morning that it's time for you to stop sitting around and waiting on somebody else to do what you got to do for yourself. You got to open up your own mouth. You got to believe in your own heart. Anybody come in the house this morning? Know that it's time for a revival. Anybody want to be revived? Anybody want to be a little stronger? Anybody want to cross a walk with the Lord? Anybody want to have faith that goes beyond the side of a mustard seed? I want to thank God this morning that the Lord God is right there by our side. I see prosperity. I see God blessing us this week. I see God lifting up bent down head. I see God touching the feeble body. I see my God this morning walking through this valley down here in Lexington, North Carolina, where the enemy is on the rampage. But I want God this morning to get in the power of all of God's people, that we might let our light shine, that somebody might see Jesus. Anybody got Jesus? Anybody got Jesus deep down on the inside? Anybody know about the power of God? When the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that if you believe in the power of God, you shall have eternal life. Anybody glad this morning that God woke you up, started you on another day's journey, made everything as well as it is? May not be where you want to be, but by faith you will get there one day. I'm going to keep on pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God, because I got Jesus on my mind. And I got faith in God right now. But I want to see him as he is. I want to see him over on the other shore. I want to see God. Hallelujah, Jesus. What you see is what you're going to get. It depends on what you're looking at out of your own eyes. And then it depends on how much you believe by faith. Now, if you back up, if Lot took the land that looked like it was flourishing and it was green, then undoubtedly the land that Abram was looking at, it's all dry, looked like wouldn't nothing grow, looked like nothing could happen. But because God made the promise, Abram didn't see what he might would have seen, but Abram saw beyond his natural vision. You got to learn how to go beyond your natural vision, your natural comprehension, because what God has planned for you, you're not intelligent enough to conceive all of it. So you take a little at a time. And when God feeds you that little and you are able to digest it, see that we just like some of these little babies. Some of you still and still on milk. You should have been eating meat a long time ago. But we still got some old breast babies. Hallelujah, Jesus. And if you're not careful, our young folk are so intelligent. They don't have the excuses that you may have had, because opportunity is here. So they better grab hold. And they ought to be able to eat a little more meat a little earlier. What am I saying? As Christians, you got to grow in your spiritual growth. If you're always complaining, if you always got your head hung down, if you always look like you don't have any joy, how are you going to draw anybody to the God you serve? You see, when you mature in this thing, when you're hurting, the enemy don't even know it. Because you learn how to keep your head up. Look to the hills from which cometh your help, knowing that all of your help comes from the Lord. Then the enemy will see, I can't touch that. Because that is a product of God. When God has something for you, it's for you. And that's what God was saying to Abram. I got something for you. And not only for you, but for seeds and generations to come. The blessings of the land is for you. But now, aren't we glad that Jesus decided to let them know that not only the Jews, but the Gentiles and everybody is worthy of God's grace.